You are listening to the Tricorder Transmissions. Or leave. Episode 27.
Just what the doctor ordered. Right, doctor? I couldn't have prescribed better.
You have beamed aboard the 27th episode of Shore Leave, your Star Trek convention community podcast. I am Jeff Hewlett, and here with me is the co-creator of Shore Leave and fellow pin-collecting addict, the fabulous Heather Barker.
That is me, and that is very true, and we are 26 days out as of this recording.
Oh my goodness.
We'll be even closer by the time this episode comes out.
All right, Heather. So as we always do at the beginning, or almost always do, rather, correct myself, at the beginning of our Shore Leave episodes, as we're getting close to the con, is there any new STLV news?
There's not any, like, great news, unfortunately.
Aw.
There certainly is news, but a lot of not great news. Hopefully I touch on all of it. It changes every day. Like, there's a little thing that happens here and there, so it's hard to keep up with everything between our recordings. But okay, so I don't recall if we talked about the changes with the TNG panel last time.
It was still a little it was fresh. I think the news was pretty fresh, and Jonathan Frakes had just done some trickery.
Yeah, so he's no longer in the panel, and forgive us if we talked about this last time, but he's no longer in the panel. Instead, they've added Denise Crosby and John DeLancey to that panel.
Okay, because that definitely wasn't something we talked about before.
Okay.
We just mentioned Frakes, but so yeah, oh, that's awesome to know.
Yeah, the cast photo, Frakes will still be in on Saturday. And it does say that he will be appearing Saturday, signing autographs and doing photo ops. I'm guessing that he might have some time on stage. You know, typically they'll give him a panel and then he'll do his signing and then he'll do that TNG cast photo. So he will be there. We're happy for that. It's not going to be the same without him for the panel. But the other change that wasn't announced, but just kind of happens, I say behind the scenes, they took out Terry Farrell as the host of that panel. No explanation as to why she was removed.
Is there a new host?
I have not seen a new host. So, and aside from that, there are still tickets available for that TNG panel. And hey, there are still tickets available for the convention.
Yes.
There are still Copper, General Mission Weekend, General Mission Daily, Preferred. All of those are still available. And there are even some gold auctions on Creation's website.
Yes. Actually, quite a lot of them.
Yeah. And as of our recording on July 11th, we have seen no Groupon.
No. Yeah. The hopes are getting a little slim at this point for the Groupon, I'm sorry to say, because it should have been out. I was thinking maybe optimistically it would have been out right after 4th of July, kind of as a, hey, holiday sale thing, but nope.
Big nope there. And I'm honestly surprised. I knew that it wouldn't happen last year, but I thought that with this year not selling out, we likely would see them. So I'm surprised by that and still holding out hope for our friends that were looking to go that route.
Mm.
So hopefully we'll hear something.
Yeah, it would really shock me if they're going to let a lot of tickets go unsold without even trying to do some sort of a sale like that. Because you would think that, I mean, how close can we really get, though, feasibly before they let the Groupons go? I mean, maybe a week, 2 weeks out, hopefully. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that whole process works with getting the tickets set up with Groupon or Gold Star or any of that. But if we find out, we will let everyone know.
Absolutely. Keep an eye on the Facebook group.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so one of the cancellations that we had was Daniel Stewart.
Super sad, man.
Patrick Stewart's son, for those who don't know. And he was going to be in the Inner Light panel, and so now he will not be in the Inner Light panel. It will still be Patrick Stewart, Margot Rose, and Morgan Gendel. So that's kind of a bummer. I thought that would be really nice to see them together talking about that episode and So that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, I was really bummed to see that happen. It was kind of an really unexpected thing, because I think a lot of people were so happy to see that he was going to be there. And yeah, it was, and I think there was really no reason given for it either. So
no, I assume he's got work somewhere, yeah, or something, you know, obviously something going on. Yeah, hopefully he's not ill, but at least we still have the panel and you get to see Patrick Stewart and you don't have to pay for it. So exactly. Woo!
Yes.
Right.
Cheer for that. Yes.
Back to tickets real quick. And I should have talked about this when we were still talking about tickets. So we had something happen this year that has not happened previous to the 50th. And mm-hmm. that is mm-hmm. that many of the gold autograph tickets for people like Nana Visitor, Alexander Siddig, Rene Auberjonois, Robert Beltran, they have all sold out.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I feel terrible because here we've been saying for the last many years, don't buy your tickets ahead of time unless you really, really want them, or unless it's a very big name. Most of these people have never sold out until, you know, maybe the day of.
Yeah. And you save your service fee by buying at the convention. So, but wow, that's crazy.
I have to wonder if Creation is just not allowing as many tickets.
That's what I'm thinking.
It's either, I mean, it's either Creation or the guests, you know, that have said, oh, we only want to do a certain amount of autographs, and they've never done that previously. So I'm not quite sure what's going on. We don't know why. I feel terrible that those tickets have been sold out. Yeah. So I would say at this point, if it's a ticket that you really, really want, go ahead and get it and just forget about the service fee.
Just pony up the seven and change.
But I guess if it's something that you don't want to miss, then go ahead and buy the ticket, and that guarantees that you won't miss it.
Yeah, we've all
Unless
done it before.
Unless they cancel.
Yeah. Well, in that case, you'll get your money back. So not to worry about that. But
I don't know that they'll give you your money back. They'll give you a ticket for someone else. But I don't think Creation is known for giving refunds.
Really? I swear I got a refund for a cancellation of a photo op once, but that could be mistaken. I've been to so many of these things.
Maybe. Maybe they pick and choose somewhat, or maybe I'm wrong. last thing about tickets. So the Voodoo Dinner, the extra tickets they were selling have also sold out.
What?
Yeah. And that's good.
That is good.
You don't want them to be selling way too many tickets for an already crowded party.
No. But that is interesting that the con itself is not sold out, but yet some of these other things that normally don't sell out are selling out. And the TNG panel didn't sell out. That's interesting.
No, well, there are people that are very unhappy at the way that was handled. And
it was handled poorly for sure.
You know, have chosen not to buy tickets for that reason. And so I think that's, you know, evidence to Creation that you don't charge for, you know, you don't change your slogan, change your promise, and start charging for panels. I know there was a lot more involved in their decision to do that. And I think ultimately they did everything they could in resolving the matter, but there's still pushback. And the people who are not going to that panel are justified in not doing so.
Of course. Yeah. You vote with your wallet. Absolutely. And we support that. You know, it's as a consumer. And, you know, we've seen this, you know, year after year, things get a little bit more. They squeeze a little bit more and a little bit more. And, you know, there's got to be a breaking point where people finally say enough's enough and I'm not going to pay for this, no matter how much they want to see it. And, you know, we both broke down and we got tickets for it, but only once everything was resolved to, you know, in a way we thought was a good resolution. But still, you're well within your rights to be unhappy with it. And
well, and that's in the main theater, so there are a lot of tickets for sale for that versus something like the Voodoo Lounge parties, which don't have that many, and they typically do sell out by convention time. And, you know, I say that if you're going to pay $200 for that party, you should just pay $500 or $600, whatever it is for the entire ticket.
Get all the extra stuff.
Yeah, I just don't. It's not worth the $200, but I think it's great when it's included, you know, with the larger packages.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I would agree, having been to one of those. I mean, it's fun. It's cool. But yeah, as a standalone ticket, I wouldn't do it. But I would, if I was going to spend that $200, I would do exactly what you said and just, you know, trade up to a higher ticket tier that included it. Because they come with all kinds of other great little perks. So, you know, if you're going to do it, do it.
Yeah. I think the only other cancellations we've had, Samantha Eggar, and I don't remember if we mentioned her last time or not, but so she's no longer attending. And we haven't gotten a ton of additions. I think that the most recent was Stephen Rankin. Is that right?
104, I think. Yep. It looks like, yeah, he was, as far as the creation site is concerned, he's the last one on the update news page. So he's part of the Enterprise Blues Band, too. So that's kind of neat.
Ah, well, that explains that. Well, I don't know. We're less than 3 weeks away now. And I'm hopeful that we'll get another big guest.
Yes.
But I don't know if we will or not. But can all cross our fingers. And I mean, we've got Patrick Stewart.
How much bigger can they get? You got Shatner, you got Patrick Stewart.
So far, Carl Urban hasn't canceled.
Yeah, I keep the fingers crossed. And Sisko never signed on, so he can't cancel this year.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see Avery Brooks anytime soon, unfortunately. But again, we do have the fabulous Dr. Mae Jemison, who I'm still excited about seeing. And lots of cool stuff. Greg Grunberg, who's been in the JJ films and was in Heroes and other stuff.
Yep.
We mentioned before last year he was at the Las Vegas Comic Con that was going on the same time as the Rio or Las Vegas Toy Con or something. And he's actually
down the street. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So people went over there and then he's actually going to be at Star Trek Las Vegas. So that's fun for people that know him from other shows.
Excellent.
Yeah. So very last piece of news that I have. As of today, Creation sent out a note saying that pre-registration will very likely be Tuesday night.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay.
Sounds like that's news to you.
No, it's not. It's not news to me at all. that was me trying to put on the excited face. But yeah, we knew that was coming.
Yeah.
What else would it be?
We thought maybe they might do it in the afternoon again, like they did last year for the 50th. But no, they're going to do it in the evening. So it should be back on the normal schedule. I think it usually opens for gold around 6 o'clock.
Yeah. Hopefully GA won't be too, too late. It'll be before. I think was it usually like 9 or 8 or 9 for GA pre-registration?
Yeah, I think so.
We'll be there and waiting in line. So come say hi to us. But
yeah. So that's about all the news that I've got. Was there anything that you had that I missed?
I think we do have some other news. I don't know if we can give out all the details yet, but I think, you know, it's we're getting close to the convention here, and people who are listening to the show who are going to be going to the convention have been asking us, you know, what are we going to be doing there? And I want to let everybody know that we are definitely going to be doing a lot of on-the-spot interviews out there. So definitely look for us. And we're going to be asking a lot of people, all of our name badge people who we are going to be giving our name badges out to, who've been so kind as to purchase them on the Facebook group. We are going to be looking to talk to a lot of you to be on this very show, because we're going to have a show after the convention's over, where we're going to have all the clips of everybody talking and answering our questions and doing our little mini interview. So I think we're both really looking forward to doing that stuff.
Yeah, I know that when we do little shout outs to our friends, they get very excited to hear their name on the podcast. And I wanted to do something so that everyone could be on the podcast. And what a better thing to have post-con than an episode with all of us talking about the things we were looking forward to, the things that we loved. So that's going to be very fun to create while we are there, and very fun to release afterwards.
Yes. And I don't know, there may or may not be a little something, you know, that you may receive after doing one of those. We can't really say right now, but there may be something cool that we're holding very close to the vest right now. Yeah. But a lot of cool stuff's going on. Tricorder Transmissions Party, 4th anniversary party, will be happening on the 3rd. Now, location still forthcoming, of course. The actual anniversary, the 4th anniversary, will be on August 4th. But as we mentioned on prior shows, and we've changed the Facebook event to the 3rd due to some other conflicts that were going on. So,
like the TNG panel.
Yes, and other there are other. I think there's another party, a gold or captain's chair party that night as well, and the Gaze in Space, right? So yeah, lots and lots and lots of stuff going on. And we know a lot of people are going to all of those. So it would have been a big conflict. And I know people would have been disappointed that they wanted to come to the party, but they had other commitments that night. So it will be on the 3rd. So look for that. We're going to have some really cool stuff there. We're going to have some giveaways. We're going to have a nice, cool bunch of baked goods for you to eat. We're going to have some beers and stuff, and we're just going to have a good time. And there may or may not be some giveaways there, too.
Exclusive. What is this voice?
It's late. No, it's I'm punchy. It's getting late. But yeah, a lot of cool stuff's going to be happening. So keep your eyes out for that. And keep your eyes on our Facebook group, too. We may have some other cool announcements coming up here as we get closer to the convention. So
yeah, I just wanted to quickly shout out to everybody that did purchase a name badge. We didn't set out to do that to make money. We are reinvesting that money back into the group, just so that everyone is clear about that.
Mm-hmm. No profit at all. It's going towards the party and other things.
We had spoken to so many people, especially on the heels of our anxiety episode, about the fact that, you know, it's difficult to remember the name of all of your 5,999 friends who are also at the convention. And it would be great to have name tags, not only to help you connect with friends that you may only see once a year, but to help new people get, you know, meet new people and to maybe feel just a little less anxious overall in that process. So we were thrilled with the response that we got. This may be an annual thing that we do, and we are excited to tell you about the ways that we're investing that money in you guys. Aside from the party, we'll be doing one other thing that we'll be mentioning on our next episode, which will be the last episode before STLV.
Yes, yes, yes. Keep your eyes out for that. And by the way, thank you also again. I want to just pile on to Heather's comments there and thank everybody for all the really nice feedback we got on the badge design and the proofs that we posted. And the people who've posted pictures of the ones they've received in the mail already for the people who got their shipped to them. Really, really nice to hear how much you guys are enjoying those badges. And we look forward to seeing all of you wearing them. Currently, the tally here on July 11th is we've had 97.
Wow.
97 badges.
So 97 people need to buy Jeff a drink because we worked on this together, but Jeff ultimately is doing all of the work behind printing, you know, really making the design, printing, shipping them to you. And then he and I are going to work on putting together the final stuff when we're in Vegas. But
absolutely.
I just wanted to make it clear to everybody that you have done a monumental amount of work to do this, and I appreciate it, and I know that everyone else will.
Thank you. That's very sweet. I appreciate that, and I appreciate all the kind words that everyone has said. And please, you know, I relish the thought of 97 people buying me a drink, but I will be in the hospital if that happens. So, you know, a customary pat on the back or a good job will also suffice in lieu of a drink. But a couple of drinks might be nice.
I think that works.
All right, this is part 2 of our Vendor Room Spectacular series. And if you didn't catch the first part, you really should go back and check it out after you're done with this episode. We had our good friends Danny Schwartz from Shop LLAP and Mickey Gunter from Make It So on to talk about all the awesome stuff they're going to have for you on their tables at the upcoming convention. And in addition to that, we were also joined by Julie Nimoy and David Knight to talk about the new Remembering Leonard Nimoy documentary that will be screening on Wednesday at the Las Vegas convention. So we're all looking forward to that, and hopefully you are too. So later in this episode, we're also going to be joined by Dr. Trek himself, Mr. Larry Nemechek, for an update on what he's got planned for STLV. But right now, it is our great pleasure to bring a new guest to Shore Leave. We know him from past conventions. Heather and I are both huge fans of their amazing pins, and I know many of you are out there as well. We are super excited to introduce Mr. Lou Halbuth of Fansets.
Good evening, guys. It's an honor and a pleasure to be with you guys this evening.
It's awesome to finally talk to you again. I feel like I haven't seen you in a while. It's been a long time since Mission New York and the last STLV.
Well, we've been in our cave in the Delta Quadrant preparing for the invasion that's going to happen in 26 days. So We're very excited. As I said earlier, I feel like with what I'm going to talk to you about tonight about Star Trek Las Vegas, I should be sitting here with a red suit and a pillow stuffed under it with a beard on, because it's some exciting stuff coming down the pipe.
Yeah, you've been teasing us on Twitter throughout the day, and we had a little private discussion where you teased us some more. So I think both of us are really excited, too, to hear about all the awesome, awesome stuff that you've got coming. Before we do that, though, for anybody listening out there who isn't familiar with FanSense, I don't know how you couldn't be if you're a convention goer, but maybe this is your first time going to STLV and you haven't seen their stuff yet. Lou, can you give us a rundown of what you guys do and maybe a little bit about the history of the company?
Oh, boy. How much bandwidth do you have? our company, I'll start with that. Our company, I'm the Guy Fliegman of the business. I'm just lucky to be along for the voyage. Our company, it has three principals who are the managing partners of the business, one of which is Mr. Dan Madsen. And if you are familiar with Star Trek and the history of Star Trek, Dan is a piece of that history. He's right there at Bijo.
Nice.
He was handpicked by Gene Roddenberry to do the Star Trek communicator. Dan has been on the set of every Star Trek movie up until the Kelvin Timeline movies. He was on the set of every movie produced. Dan and I met in a very, you know, foretelling way. He's based out here in Colorado where I'm at. My sister-in-law was his executive secretary at Fantastic Media, which was his company that did the Star Wars and the Star Trek and Lord of the Rings fan books. So I got to go to Dan's office and just fanboy, walk in. It was like going to Gene Roddenberry's office, as the closest thing as I can see. And I would go to his office. We would go in and he would take me on a tour, show me all of his really cool exclusive toys that he had. And we built a friendship from there. Well, 5 years ago when John Garrison, who is the other principal, and I came up with this idea for pins, we went to Dan because Dan's connection in this industry is platinum. It's gold plated platinum. He was able to walk us into the offices at Star Trek. He got us the appointment. The Star Trek folks are incredible. I mean, their licensing division, everybody in your audience can sleep well tonight knowing that the right people are touching this, this license. They took a gamble on us, quite frankly. We were kind of ahead of the curve. Pins weren't really a going deal. Mm-hmm. We came after the pins kind of from the same standpoint that Funko does with their pops. I mean, we're right. Coming at it. We're going to produce the entire universe. And everything from a Telluride to Nomad to, you know, characters that were seen in one episode and vaguely. I mean, we're going to have those kind of characters available for the Star Trek universe. And quite frankly, we have licenses with several of the other. We have Marvel, we have DC, Harry Potter. Harry Potter is a very hard license to get. And we were able to procure those licenses because of not just how we do it, but what the fans who see our product from Star Trek, that's one of our biggest selling features is we would tell the licensing groups, go check out what our critics are saying about our product. And that, you know, from the Irish Trekkie to the Trek Geek guys to, you know, everybody that did reviews on our product early on opened a lot of doors for us. So that's kind of how we've come full circle. Now, I think we're a key license for the Star Trek guys, to be honest with you. They treat us incredibly well. They've brought a lot of projects to us that they didn't go elsewhere with. The 455 Films initiative for the fundraise was they steered 455 to us. We've had an unbelievable working relationship, and those pins have landed and are getting ready to go out, and they look absolutely beautiful. I don't believe there's going to be a single person disappointed with these.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the tour of how we got there. We've got travel, you know, and we do shows at anything that has anything to do with science fiction. When Dan's there, it's like being there with Elvis Presley. I mean, he's a convention rock star, and he brings just a starship full of credibility for us with the fandom. So it's been a great ride, man. Yeah. I'll tell you, I got into this because my wife said, Lou, you got to find a way to make money at this and stop spending it. So it's been a fun ride, and it's just going to get better. Boy, I'm telling you, it's just going to get better with Discovery and stuff coming. I've seen some stuff on it, and we'll go over that here, but I don't think there's going to be a soul disappointed.
Well, I can tell you, Heather and I, we administer a Facebook group of convention goers, and I don't think I've seen anybody have anything other than enthusiasm and love for your product. So
yeah,
they're all phenomenal. Heather and I, and we both own quite a few of your pins. So
yeah,
cool. Well, thank you. That's a high compliment, and that's our greatest testimony is our customers. I personally answer emails, phone calls. I write notes on the packages to the customers. I do the shipping. We want to believe that we are the people, you know, the Star Trek, we're the people's company. We want to be out there so that the customers can have personal contact with us. I have to tell you that we have done so many conventions this year, doing Comic Cons and sci-fi conventions and stuff. We are absolutely, it's like going to a family reunion to go to STLV. It's not a convention. We don't view it as that. It's our longest convention. It's grueling because it's with the preview night, we will literally leave Denver Monday, drive around the clock to get there Tuesday morning, set up and work till 11 o'clock. Last year, I went 42 straight hours before I got to sleep.
Oh just my
to
God. Sleep,
because we have to drive the booth out there. But yeah, you know what? You're the adrenaline rush that's on, it's the fastest 42 hours in history. So, you know, it's like a 12-hour day that's pushed, that's wrapped into 42 hours. So it's a lot of fun. We're just looking so forward to it.
Amazing. It's great to hear that you've slotted into the convention community so well, too, because I know that when I ran into you at Mission New York, I mean, we had a good long discussion, and there were a lot of people coming by, and I remember you being really popular at STLV, too. I'm sure people are going to be super excited to see you back again this year.
You know, there's not a lot of people, and this is unfortunate because we're trying to address this in our own retail initiative. The Star Trek customers are starved out. I mean, that's the easiest way I can tell you. There's not a lot of manufacturers who have faith in the Star Trek customer, and you know that's just the truth. And we don't believe that. That's their perspective, not ours. They just don't know how to communicate with the community. Mm-hmm. And we've had nothing but a growing, budding friendship relationship with the Star Trek community, and that's not going to change. I mean, they're probably not our biggest consumer base. We did a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive for Warner Brothers this year where we did over 280,000 pins for them. For San Diego Comic-Con and Luca, but you know, it is the most rabid fan base, and our message out is you're missing the boat. I think that boat's going to come to dock though in Discovery. I think that you're going to see a lot of people who are going to come and want to be part of the consumer dollars that are available once this show hits. It's going to be literally like watching a theatrical movie every episode. It's mm-hmm. that kind of quality.
Definitely look like that. So, you know what? Since you talked about doing an exclusive pin for San Diego Comic-Con, I know you have some really cool new stuff coming out for STLV, including an exclusive pin, but there's another one too. So if you want to give us a quick rundown on some of the things you have in store for us.
Sure. First off, we'll talk about what we're doing as fan sets for STLV, and that's we're bringing out a 30th anniversary Star Trek The Next Generation set, much like we did for the captain sets last year. That captain set was limited to 1,701 pieces. We are only producing 178 of these next generation commemorative pieces. It's an eight pin set that goes onto a 12x12 board, backer board. It'll be available. You could buy the pin separately if you don't want the backer board, but we'll have it available where you can get it. It'll come framed. It's unlike last year's piece, which was buy the first two pins, and then it was kind of a subscription basis. We would send one out every month. Mm-hmm. People will be able to buy the entire set in the frame at STLV. We're going to retail the pins by themselves for $160. If you want the frame set, that'll be $200, and it'll come in a nice box, shadow box with the really cool backboard. Backer board on it, and that'll be $200. We're only doing 178 of those, the same number of episodes there were in the Next Generation show. Wow. So that's going to be our commemorative piece for this year. We'll do a piece next year, you know, for next year. So we're going to try to do one of these special pieces with limited runs. I believe next year it's Voyager, or is it Deep Space Nine? It's one of the two. Jeez,
I think it was DS9's 25th. Yeah,
DS9's 20th next year. So we'll have one next year for that. And then we're going to also have we don't want to call it an exclusive, but it's going to be a convention special piece for STLV, which is a poker chip. It's going to be designed like a poker chip. It has all the command colors in it. Data's in his yellow with a visor holding his poker chips or his poker cards. And it looks like a poker chip that is themed with the green glitter around it. And you've seen a picture of it. It is absolutely a beautiful, beautiful piece. And that'll be retailing for $15. We recognize that not every Star Trek fan in the world can make it to the show. So we will have that pin available sometime after July 10th to be pre-purchased online. And then we'll ship them out when we get back within a couple weeks of the show. We will ship them out to anyone who couldn't make the show. And then we'll also have them available at STLV for $15.
Is there going to be a limited quantity of those at STLV or?
Nope. Those we're going to produce a lot of those, you know, just, and when I say a lot, there'll probably be 1,000 to 1,500 pieces at STLV. So, I mean, it'll be able to handle, you know, a good amount of people who will want that pendant. But we know that people who can't make the show will want an opportunity. We've kind of learned this over the year because when we've done show exclusive, like when we met you in New York, we did a show exclusive for Mission New York that sold out in 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I mean, it was gone. And you saw the pin. It was the City on the Edge of Forever pin that we did. It was a beautiful pin. And that pin was, we literally sold out of that in 45 minutes. This, you know, going around, and we also did an incredible pin for the San Francisco show that Creation did last year. That was a commemorative Star Trek 4 piece with a whale on it, the San Francisco Bridge. It was themed for San Francisco, and that we sold out of that in 2 days of the show. So, you know, we're learning as we go along that we want to make these things more available to people. And I get probably 15 emails a week asking for, hey, do you have one of these laying around? And, you know, we want to be able to make sure everybody gets a collectible.
Yeah. Speaking of the limited editions, with the 50th anniversary pin last year, did that sell out by the end of the convention?
No, we still have some. It didn't sell out. 1,701 pieces. We still actually have some of those available. They're still available on the website. We're pretty high up in the numbers. We do have some low numbers available because we had some pins that came in damaged, and the numbers were, we had to have them replaced, so we were unable to sell them at the time. So I think we have like some low 100 pieces left, some low 200 pieces left, and then the rest are, geez, I don't know, they're up in the stratosphere somewhere.
Well, I'm thinking that at that pin, if there were 1,701 made with only 178 of this 30th anniversary pin, it sounds like you're going to want to get to the vendor's room on Tuesday night. Yeah,
these are going to sell out. If we have any left, we're going to preview them. We're going to premiere them at the show. If we have anything left that Monday after the show, we'll have them on the site, first come, first serve. But I really don't believe that we will ever see that happen. I think we're going to sell out at the show, since we will have all the pieces. You'll be able to buy the complete set then. So,
yeah, with that, that's such a limited number. I feel bad for people that aren't going, but you're probably not going to get one online. And I think that you're really going to need to make sure to stop by during pre-registration or on Wednesday.
First thing.
Yep. Yeah. Send a friend with some money is all I can say.
Yeah, really. And oh man. And I have a feeling this thing's going to look incredible too. So I think people are just going to be blown away by it when they get to, they're going to get there, they're going to see it, and they're just going to immediately buy it. Yeah, knowing the people at STLV.
Yes, we're going to have a preview of it. The visual of it will premiere on StarTrek.com.
Nice.
Probably around the time of this episode airs. It is absolutely incredible how the detail in the faces, the whole look of the piece is just absolutely mind blowing. It I couldn't believe it when it came in, how good it looked.
I'll tell you guys, and if any of you guys out there who are listening to this right now have never seen any of the Fansets stuff, it's going to sound like I'm gushing, but seriously, go to the Fansets website and just look at some of the stuff they have. So, I mean, I hadn't seen any of it until I saw it for the first time at STOV last year, and I remember being blown away by the stuff that I saw. So I can only imagine what this new stuff is going to look like.
Yeah, I would say it actually looks better in person than it does on the website. So,
well, we hear that all the time. Thank you. And it's a true statement. We hear that all the time. And what's kind of funny is when we premiered last year, our first show that we ever did was STLV, as a company, was STLV. And we went down there with 26 pins. That's what we premiered with at the show. And we had a very aggressive approach to our Star Trek line. We actually produced over 100 SKUs in our first year for Star Trek, which has made it one of the largest launches in the 50-year history of the show.
That's incredible.
Yeah, we're pretty proud of that fact.
That's incredible. You know, by the way, I just to throw it out there, what other kinds of pieces are you going to have available? What other Trek pieces? I know you have a large catalog. What are some of the other pins that people are going to be able to get at the table?
We will have every piece of Star Trek, from our micro characters to our micro fleet ships. We'll have pretty close to 100 micro characters. A lot of people for the first time will get to see the Mirror Universe.
Ooh.
TNG crew pins that we've done. We did that with CBS. They came to us and said, hey, we'd like some support for the IDW book that's coming out on Free Comic Book Day. Would you guys consider getting behind it? And we produced 6 of the crew characters done in J.K. Woodward's artwork. So they're actually done out of his art. And then we did 6 of the crew in our own micro character design.
Cool.
We have 2 ship pins of the ISS Enterprise, which is, if you're not reading that comic book, you're missing out because it is phenomenal. And then we have the Terran emblem and the Terran Delta also for that. And that'll be the first real show that we'll have those at. That's a Star Trek show. So I think people will be excited about that. We will, of course, have our Star Trek augmented reality pin at this show, which is of the Enterprise. And we're currently working on the Klingon D7. We're getting really close on that. We're pretty excited about our AR initiative with Star Trek. I think we'll see some of the newer stuff with licensing on that also going forward. And I mean, we didn't have last year. We have our episode pins, so you can pick out a pin representing every one of the TV shows, including the animated series.
Whoa.
You know, and I guess this is as good a time as any is to make this announcement. This is one of the surprise ones, is that Fansets is now officially a licensee for Star Trek Discovery.
Yes.
We already have 9 pins and ship pins in design. And you know what? We'll have to see what STLV brings. There may be some surprises at STLV.
Nice.
Oh, it's very exciting for us that we're trusted with being involved with the flagship for CBS on this. And they are doing everything they can. I can tell you this much. They are doing everything they can to make sure that almost everybody is going to be happy with the new show.
That speaks volumes about what you guys do too, that you're so trusted and deeply involved with this. That's fantastic to hear. I'm so glad to hear it.
It is the highest compliment possible that we were asked to be involved. We wanted to be involved, and we've got some stuff that's in the works that will probably be making air by the time this episode airs. That is absolutely phenomenal. It's groundbreaking for one of the initiatives that we have with Star Trek Discovery. And that's about all I can say on that. But we're very excited. And so we'll see what comes forward. And listen, there's a bunch of other stuff that I can tell you about. There's going to be a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive that we did with Think Geek.
Oh, nice.
That will be a Mirror Universe Star Trek The Next Generation pin that'll be available through Think Geek at San Diego Comic-Con. We're involved in a Think Geek CBS All Access exclusive for Star Trek Discovery. And we will also be bringing out a line of commission pins for the commission plaques that they did for
oh, the wow.
That those will be, we'll see those out sometime in the third, fourth quarter. And then the one thing that we would have had out for Star Trek Las Vegas, but other things came up that got pushed in front of it, is that we'll be launching our Star Trek Kelvin timeline pieces.
Cool.
So we'll have all, you know, we'll be doing ships and characters from the Kelvin timeline.
Do you think that those would be available for a pre-order by then?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
Well, we'll be patient.
I don't blame you. We are also knee deep in the middle of getting ready to launch Marvel Comics, and that's, you know, I need an octopus to keep all the balls that we have in the air going. My poor partner John is ready for some therapy. But yeah, so you'll see the Kelvin timeline stuff probably September, October.
Cool.
Probably October. We've been pounding on CBS for a year to get that license, and then, you know, Discovery came up, and that's the Holy Grail. So we're very excited to, we kind of had to shift those around so that we could fit the production of going to get this stuff. I mean, we like I said earlier, we have all of our pins built in the Delta Quadrant, and it just takes a long time to get them here sometimes. That's, you know, that's about it. We've got everyone should be seeing the 455 pins pretty soon. We're in Diamond Comics now, so if you can't find fan sets pins online, you can go to your local comic book store. We have a full line of Star Trek stuff. We're trying to get Star Trek into the comic book stores, not just, you know, where you can buy stuff on merch online. We're actually trying to get comic book stores to pick up our Star Trek line so that Star Trek customers everywhere can find product.
Awesome. So, Lou, you know, one thing we like to do here at Shore Leave, and we've done this with a lot of our other friends and guests who come on, is that since Discovery's right around the corner and we're all such big Star Trek fans, we've talked about it a lot between us and our Trek family, but we always love to ask some new folks that come on what their thoughts and feelings are on Discovery. I know you've had some access to it, so what do you think?
I think I'm one of the few. I loved Star Trek Enterprise, and I always have to admit to people that when we all got introduced to Star Trek, you know, 90%+ of us got introduced to it on television, not in movies. Mm-hmm. And I used to sit in my dad's lap and watch Star Trek. And, you know, the puppet in the Corbinite maneuver always at the end, I couldn't watch the end of the show because the credits always had the puppet picture in it. And I was like, that was nightmares.
Yep.
And, you know, there's a piece of me that when Discovery was announced, I wanted it to be after Voyager. Because I just think that there's a lot of shackles that come with being inside a canon that has a 50-year base to it. But after seeing what these guys have done, seeing some of it, seeing the direction, seeing the arc that they're going to run with the episodes, I'm so excited. I cannot wait for September 24th. I cannot wait for it. I was a doubter until I saw it, and I'm a complete believer. I believe anything that is as beloved as Star Trek is, that you can't please everybody, right? I mean, that's you cannot please everybody, and I think that there's going to be people who probably don't like the direction that it's going to go, but those people don't like it. You know, people are going to find something to not like. You're going to have 10% not like it no matter what. Having been around it as a fan, and that's really where my involvement came from, not as a manufacturer and, wow, we picked up the Star Trek license. I mean, everybody in this deal and in fan sets is, you know, we're fans. I mean, that's why we made that beginning of our name, is because we're going to approach it. Every move we make is if we were the fan. That's kind of our motto. And I think everybody should wait till the end of the 15th episode before they either jump off the boat, or because there's a story to be told. It's not, you're not going to be able to get the whole gist of it in one deal.
Yeah. That's something that a good friend of ours, one of our other hosts, Jim Morehouse, he was saying something very, very similar, that it's the first Star Trek that's going to have this new, more modern, season-long story arc format. So this is something right. that we haven't seen in Trek before. So Trek fans need to change the way they think about Star Trek. I mean, we're used to maybe one or two or three episode story arcs, but now you're going to have a 15-episode story arc.
That's absolutely correct. I couldn't have said it better myself. That is absolutely the thought process that everyone needs to. You got to get to the last word of the last chapter and then draw your conclusions. That's what I'm going to do. I think I can tell you this much. It is not going to be for the lack of creativity on their part. The designs, the ships, the stuff we've seen is. There's a galaxy far, far away that's going to stand up and take notice of what's coming.
Oh, interesting. Okay. A little tidbit drop there, Heather. What do you think? Make your mind wander?
I tweeted basically the same thing earlier today, that this is going to be a Star Trek unlike any Star Trek that we've ever seen. And that's such an exciting prospect for me. Yeah. I'm just counting the days. Well, I'm counting the days till STOV, and then as soon as that's done, I'll be counting my days to Discovery.
Well, and what you really need to count your days to is San Diego Comic-Con, because they are going to have a rather spectacular presentation at San Diego Comic-Con. They've got that red circle. They know that everybody listening to this podcast is waiting with bated breath. I mean, they're trying to get to the rest of the world, and the best way to do that is at San Diego Comic-Con. And I think you're going to be flat out amazed at what comes out of San Diego Comic-Con concerning Star Trek Discovery.
Okay.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I know that a lot of people get upset because STLV, right now there's really no Discovery presence except for a panel that's been announced, but there's really no information about that panel. And as disappointing as it is, STLV is not on a world stage like San Diego Comic-Con is.
Absolutely. From your mouth to God's ears. That's absolutely right. They'll have, if they pull off San Diego Comic-Con correctly, our community in Star Trek will expand exponentially larger than it would as if they showed it at STLV. I mean, we as Star Trek fans have an obligation to grow the universe. And that's kind of how we're approaching it. How we see it is that, we know that from a business standpoint, our customer base, we know we know the Star Trek fans. They know us, because there's just not a lot of us, meaning companies like Fansets. There's Eagle Moss, there's Quantum Mechanics. I mean, there's just not a lot of retailers manufacturers of products. So that we know they're going to find us. They've got to bring the Marvel Universe guys. They've got to bring those fans, mm-hmm. Because not everybody knew who Marvel Comics was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Their movies were horrible and they're trying to grow. They've got to grow our community, and Star Trek Las Vegas is a great place to communicate with the people who live there. But we need some people moving in.
Yeah,
absolutely true.
I think that's so important to remember, is that Discovery, they're not making it just for us. Yeah. They're making it to bring in new members into this great big family. And so part of that, that's why it looks a little bit different.
Yeah.
That's why it's going to, it's written a little bit different, and it's going to have some new elements similar like to Game of Thrones. That article's been running around, and the more we find out about it, the more I realize how different it will be from what we've seen, but how in line it will be with what's popular on television these days. And so I think Star Trek fans just need to commit to realizing that, sure, there's going to be some fan service. We have a friend that's working on set, and so he's divulged that what he's seen is just amazing, and it's going to please the majority of existing Star Trek fans. Mm-hmm. But while they do that, they're still working really hard to attract new people to the franchise.
Well, they have to. I don't think there's much of a choice in it. And the same thing they did with the Kelvin timeline, the JJ Universe films. You know, you had to tailor it to today's audiences as well, because, you know, selling stuff to Star Trek fans is a great thing. But like Lou said, it's not the biggest community in the world. We need to reach out to other communities and build our own and build it up more so that Star Trek can thrive and grow, and, you know, CBS All Access can succeed and get bigger, and we can get more seasons of Discovery, right?
Well, I think it's further reaching it. I think it's just not further seasons of Discovery, but also pushing the agenda to get back to where they were, where they had several shows running at a time.
Yeah, good point.
And the more, you know, if the fandom wants to see Star Trek and quit watching Netflix old episodes, get behind Discovery, because find something good instead of, and not something bad, and support Star Trek Discovery, because it is the future of something we all cherish.
Amen. Yeah, I preach it. I understand why people are upset with CBS All Access being the platform. I do understand their reasoning, but at the same time, like, choosing to boycott the series because you're angry at that, you're actively killing Star Trek.
Yes, absolutely. I mean,
this is our chance. You know,
you might want to find something else to do with your time.
We're lucky that we got the JJ films, and I am so grateful for the influx that it caused in our fandom. Mm-hmm. Even myself, who I had watched Star Trek previously, but it wasn't until the 2009 film that I thought, oh, I want to go to a convention that's just Star Trek.
Right.
So, yeah, it's... it's
I can give you one thing that I want to tell you. This is that we get, myself, Dan, and John, get to deal with a different aspect of Star Trek than the fans do, because we get to deal with the licensing and the business end of this. Right. And I can tell you this much, the people behind the scenes doing this, this is like their children. I mean, the mentality, the safeguards, the putting the right foot in front of the other foot and taking the steps necessary to make this success. This is if they were raising, it's their children. As the best way I can put it is, I feel really safe in having to deal on the back end of the business in negotiating the licenses and working. John has to work with the licensing people directly to get our product approved. It's as if they're approving something for their kids. And I think Star Trek fans should take a great solace in that, because they're not going to, this is not going to fail. It is not going to fail. I mean, CBS is, as a network, is behind this 100%.
And that's the CBS side. And I think that just what I observe, like on Twitter, I follow a lot of the show producers and the actors and people involved. And I see the same thing from them. Like, they are Trekkies. I mean, we have many people who've previously worked on Star Trek. We have new people who have been Trekkies. We have new people that are becoming Trekkies and that are, you know, diving headfirst into the legacy of Star Trek. And, you know, one actor watching all of the Star Trek series to learn what he can. And so I think that a lot of people who are just so anti CBS All Access maybe don't see that presence from the people. In addition to seeing the backside, there's a lot of negativity towards CBS because of our past history. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to recognize, you know, what's going on now. And, you know, just like we mentioned in one of our previous podcasts, I think it was our Discovery Reaction podcast, that, you know, this immediately the trailer came out and it was bumped from 13 to 15 episodes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that tells you right there that CBS is invested in this series, aside from all the money that they have spent to produce a show like that, which the trailer blew most of us away, the quality of that trailer.
Yep.
And that's what we're going to see. Mm-hmm. that wasn't a misrepresentation of what the show is going to be. So you know, I see that presence, and I see that, and that gives me a lot of confidence knowing that Star Trek is in good hands, and your insight certainly helps us see that. So,
well, we're not just betting our fandom on it. We're betting our business on it. And I can tell you that there's not 1% of me that has any doubt to what they're going to accomplish. And listen, you're going to see, I mean, CBS as a network, they don't get the same kind of money that an HBO gets. I mean, HBO is a pay service, right? I mean, Game of Thrones. I mean, so if you want quality programming, you want to see something that we all have a vested commitment to, which is Star Trek, you know, belly up to the bar. Mm-hmm. You know, because I'll tell you what, I honestly believe this. I believe that by you, the three of us get on this on a call a year from today, and we're going to be talking about the second season of Star Trek Discovery, and we're going to be talking about how the fandom has exploded. And how it is now a mainstream fandom again. It's not a, you know, oh, you're a Trekkie, you know, it's going to be the mainstream, because, you know, Game of Thrones is ending. I mean, this is a perfect opportunity for them to make the move. Mm-hmm. And nothing's free. I mean, so it's on CBS All Access. That's okay. Hell, we all got cell phones. We're all getting nickeled and dimed every month by the cell phone. True. I mean, this is good money going for a good project.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, that we all will get to enjoy, hopefully, for the next 7 to 10 years. Yes. Let's, with some spinoffs, the better we get, the more we get behind it, the better it's going to do for us in the long run. And that's how we're approaching. And I'm saying that as a fan, not as a manufacturer of some metal pins. You know, I want to see Star Trek on television. I want to sit down and watch new episodes with my kids.
Yes.
You know, that's how I got introduced to it. I want to be able to do that with my kids.
Yeah. I think we all want to sit down and be able to watch it on television again. Mm-hmm. It's been a long time since we've seen new Trek on TV.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. And it's just been it's such a great fandom. It's such a great fandom. Like I said, it's a reunion for us to go to with the people. I mean, I saw Marina this weekend in Denver, and I don't go and get hugs from the Batman fans. I get a hug from Marina. I get a call from Jim up in Canada. I've got Corey out on a boat sending me a text saying, "How much money do I need to bring to San Diego or to Las Vegas?" I don't have contact with anyone like that at all, you know, other than the Star Trek fans, because it's the community aspect. I think it's the Gene Roddenberry vision is carried really heavily forward by the fandom and how we deal with each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the fun aspect, because, you know, slopping around the country in airports and hotel rooms, you know, go set up at a convention sometimes isn't a lot of fun. And my kids are at home. But, you know, when we go to the sci-fi conventions are a lot of fun, because the fans are into it more than they're just there to buy the latest collectibles. Yeah. They're there to share the, you know, watching the folks at STLV with the photos and the after parties and everything they have going on is just, you know, listening to Dan Davidson talk about going to play golf, you know, people talk very passionately about watching the show, but they talk as equally passionate about the community. And that's, you don't get that in anything else. I'm telling you, because we have Harry Potter, and it's nothing like this. It's nothing like this. You can find Harry Potter stuff everywhere.
Yeah. I'm telling you, that is great. I wish we could package up just that little bit and put it out there for people to understand what the Trek community is about, because I think you summed it up perfectly. It's stuff that we say on the show all the time about the community, and we're in it and we love it, and it's, you know, it's a part of our lives. But what you just said, comparing it to the other communities out there and other conventions and why STLV and other Trek conventions are special, that's wonderful. I absolutely love that. I think I'm sure Heather
Heather, here's your project this year. Yeah. You need to do a STLV yearbook.
Oh, I've actually had that in mind.
Where we all can get our picture, be like Rydell High.
Nice. Yeah. So, you know what, Lou, since we're getting kind of close to time, I just want to do one thing that we do with all of our first time guests on Shore Leave, people who've been to the convention. We love to ask people who've been there what their favorite memories are from past conventions. And I know you guys interacted with a lot of people. And you just mentioned you saw Marina again, who's a really good friend of ours, too. You know, thinking back to last year's convention, are there any stories that stick out in your mind that you're really fond of?
Oh, my gosh. Again, I'm a talker, so you may need to buy some more bandwidth.
Okay.
we had Nichelle Nichols was set up right down. It's my favorite memory last year. Nichelle Nichols was set up right down the walkway from us with her table doing autographs. And she got up, and it was during a lull that there, I think William Shatner was on in the big room, and there was kind of a lull in the dealer room. So she got up and she started walking around to the tables. And I had put together a frame set of all the original crew members in a shadow box with the pins and the Enterprise and stuff. And she came up, you know, and she's just the sweetest thing in the world. Yeah. Anyways, she came up to our table and she looked at me and she said, "I would like to buy that. How much is it?" And I was like, "Are you kidding me? It's yours for free. Please take, can I get my picture taken with you holding it?" And she goes, "I'm going to take this home and put it on my dresser." And I was just like, "Oh my gosh, I, what do you say to that?" And, you know, she walked away, and I told my wife, I was like, she's like my grandmother. I mean, that's like, she was so friendly. She was so kind. She's like, I'll stand here and take pictures with you since you're giving me this. You want to take time? I was like, "You don't need to do that, but oh my gosh, thank you for," I mean, it was an honor for her to come up and say, "Wow, that's got to go home with me." And, you know, even the actors are very, community oriented. That was my favorite memory from last year, was Nichelle Nichols coming up to our table and saying, "I got to take that home with me and put it on my dresser." So that's my favorite moment from last year.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's a truly, truly memorable moment. Yeah.
Another great story told here on Shore Leave. We've got so many of them. That's, wow. I love hearing stuff like that. So. All right. So, Lou, thanks again for coming on. Before you leave.
It was my complete pleasure and my honor. Thank you, guys. You know, as you can probably tell, I'm not a veteran. This is actually the first podcast I've ever
really
with.
Get out of here.
No, it's absolutely. I think the you know, we're very passionate, and I think that's the, you know, I've been pitching this. I'm kind of like if Star Trek, Harry Mudd. Maybe I'm Harry. I need to do a Harry Mudd pin with my face on it because I'm kind of the schlepper of the fan sets deal, but we're very passionate, and it's just been such an honor to be invited to be on your podcast and spend some time with you guys.
Oh, the honor is ours. Yeah. You know, we love your products. We've been big fans of yours for a long time, and we can't wait to see you at STLV.
Oh, we're going to have so much fun.
I know we are. Before you go, though, can you give our audience a little bit of information about where they can find you online and on social media?
Absolutely. Online, we are at www.fansets.com. Our Facebook, we're Fansets. Twitter, we're Fansets. And Instagram, we're Fansets.
That's so easy.
Yeah, so we're pretty easy to find. If you see some tweets out there or Instagram, that's me sitting there at 2:30 in the morning trying to figure out how to use the internet to grow the universe. But that's where you can find us. And we'll be at Star Trek LV, and we're excited. We'll be the guys hopping up and down, happy to see you.
Yeah. Well, we can't wait.
Yeah, I think that between the two of us, Jeff and I are starting to have a pin movement. Yes. And get people to start collecting even more so. I've got a little tricorder crochet bag that Mickey from Make It So made me last year, and it has all of my pins. It will have my Fansets pins. So hopefully getting this news out, letting everyone know, we'll get this movement started and get you a lot of sales.
Yes, and we have there's some stuff that I would like to have permission to get back with you, because we have some stuff that I couldn't talk to you about that is greater than anything I have told you so far tonight about what we've got going coming down the pipe, maybe for STLV. And I'd like to leave my foot jammed in the door to contact you and maybe just fill you in a little bit on it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah, excellent. Anytime. That would be great. And we're looking forward to having you on a year from now to talk about how big of a success Discovery has been.
Oh, my gosh. We'll be talking about the year two initiative and what we're doing for STLV 18. And it's good stuff, man.
Yeah. All right. So, Lou from Fansets, it has been our pleasure to have you on the show. And we look forward to seeing you in a few short weeks at the Las Vegas convention.
Excellent. Live long and prosper.
That was a really incredible interview with Lou from Fansets. I don't know about you, Heather, but I'm still kind of in shock that was his first ever podcast appearance.
Yeah, I don't know how that keeps happening on our podcast. Lots of firsts.
Yeah, and he was so much fun to talk to. And I know you feel the same. I cannot wait to see the table in Vegas in a few weeks. It's the stuff that he's got coming out looks so good.
Yeah.
So, all right. So this is part two of our 2017 Vendor Room Spectacular. And we're continuing with another returning guest. He was on the show back on April the 30th of this year to talk about the upcoming convention in Las Vegas. He's coming to you straight from Trekland and Portal 47 back for his fourth appearance on Shore Leave. Dr. Trek himself, Mr. Larry Nemechek. Fourth appearance.
You guys have only done four podcasts, haven't you?
Yeah, you're right.
Wow. How is that? No, that was cool. I just bumped into Lou on the way out the door. And that's awesome. I mean, I remember when they premiered last. They're just a year old and they just had their first anniversary. And I've got an interview with Lou and you know, even my old buddy and colleague and boss, Dan Madsen, when they launched that and all their high hopes and aspirations and of course they've got multiple licenses, not just Trek. So they've got all the DC and Marvel and everything, but it seems like everybody has just really embraced
them. They're so popular. So popular. So like everybody that we know in the Trek community absolutely adores them.
Yep.
I have my McCoy pin on everywhere I go. Anytime I do anything in fandom, I have my McCoy pin on. So,
so Larry, it's always a pleasure to have you back on the show. And you know, the convention is coming up here in a few short weeks, and it's right around the corner. We can see it coming. We're all panicking now, getting into packing mode.
It's coming right at us.
And I know you've got some events going on at the convention, so we wanted to have you back on before the con started, just to get the word out on some of the stuff you're doing. I think you're doing your landing party again this year.
Yeah, it's coming right at us. This is the event that the very first year we did this was the last year at, a lot of people don't realize this, the last year at the Hilton. Hmm. And the charity who is now Bye Bye Robot and John before it was Mission Log Pod, his DVD Geeks. And my Trekland was a couple years old then. Anyway, we did a closing night event, a lot of games and trivia and fun and things. And then the next year, we had different people involved and moved it to the opening night. And then after a couple of years, it got the name Landing Party. And of course, we had the move to the Rio. Mm-hmm. And it's been at the Masquerade. Last year, we had it at the little Cartiercon thing, but it'll be Masquerade again, hopefully with a decent sound system so we don't throw our voices on the first night. But yeah, so everybody, it's been fun. So what's amazing is it used to be that was kind of early, and now I call it con creep. I think we had this discussion with some people. Con creep was taking on this like stalker connotation, but to me, which I hated to see that happen to the term con creep, because to me con creep is like I took it from mission creep, which actually isn't a good thing either in military parlance. But, you know, con creep is like the con is 4 days and now 5 days. And then it was all the people coming in early the day before. And then it was everybody hanging on for the pool party on Monday. And then we had social media, and then it turned into 2 days early and 3 days early. And then some guy sitting there in February saying on Facebook, "Hey, where are you guys? Where are you guys?" Oh, and somebody in October is going, "Okay, I finally cut my bracelet off." You know, that's what I mean by con creep. So this is hardly the kickoff of the weekend, but Landing Party, yeah, Tuesday night on Con Eve, as I say, it'll be, I don't know exact time yet, but it'll be 8 or 9. We'll have trivia and some prizes and just a lot of fun. And it's not that anybody needs a mic. I mean, nothing else. The last 6, 8, 10 years, fandom has sure lost its, what I used to call the sheep mentality. And people are running around doing things on their own all the time now and planning things. But we will be there on the real, you know, don't let anybody fool you. Take no impersonations, accept no substitutes. The real Landing Party at Masquerade will be a Mission Log podcast and the Roddenberry Podcast Network and Roddenberry and the Con of Wrath and Portal 47 and all things Trekland and a couple of other sponsors to be named who will be awesome. Maybe some of our past folks, maybe not, but we're all in it together. It's this year is just catching, is just zooming up on us. Yeah. So everybody come by, you know, get a shot. I'll be giving away some, we'll have free DVDs, I know, and different things and all kinds of prizes donated by people in and around licensees and Star Trek related things. And I will have some free 2-month certificates to Portal 47.
Oh, cool. Nice.
So yeah, a lot of fun stuff to get things off on the right foot this year. Nice. Since every year seems like there's tweaks. So we will see.
Yeah.
I was saying last year, I didn't know how we'd top the, how Adam and Gary and everybody would top the 50th, and we will see. It's the third. It's the third next gen, and that's happening. So,
So do you have information up on your websites, your normal websites about that party, or is that maybe a Facebook thing?
It'll be a Facebook event, and I think I'm about 3 or 4. Now, by the time this is out, there might be. So at Larry Nemechek's Trekland, they'll be in the event, and I will blog about it at treklandblog.com too, under larrynemechek.com. Here within a few days, I'll have information up. Okay. But that's, the basics are there. You can go, you can set your clock by it. You can.
So that should be available by the time this episode goes live. So if you guys are listening to this, you'll be able to find this stuff on Larry's site as you're listening to this or right after.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys do a good job of getting there early enough that you can usually snag a couple tables so that you've got that. So I just migrate to the bar and you will find Larry and John and everyone there for the landing party.
I mean, if you have any newbies listening to this, that whole phrase migrate to the bar should be on a bumper sticker anyway. So, you know, or a magnetic attach pin or something. So it doesn't ruin any surfaces.
It just naturally happens for a lot of people.
It does. And like I said, with Concrete, they'll be there from, you know, a week ago Thursday ahead of time or something. So it happens. Yeah, it's just kind of an extra dimensional fun we like to do. And everybody's there already. It's like Wi-Fi. You know, it's the thing. I really, the first couple of years we had that, the first year special, I think 2011. We had it in the Irish pub when that was open. That space. Right.
Cool. Yeah, McFadden's.
McFadden's. And that was the perfect space. And I even contacted people at the Rio to see what, I mean, they lost the branding and it's been mostly empty. And we really got serious about looking at it last year for the 50th. And it's been robbed of so much equipment over the year. I don't mean robbed. I mean, I don't mean robbed. I mean, they've came in and the hotel, the Rio, has cannibalized the pieces, have taken things out they needed. And if somebody, I said we were like offering to even go in and pay to clean it up and rent it and all this stuff and keep it like low key, not cook in it, but like wheel things in there instead of some other rent place. And they said it's had so much furniture and fixtures taken out of it that it would be a huge hassle to ramp up and do. But I missed that. That's what people would, that's really a space suited for fan hangouts.
Yeah.
The Masquerade is kind of like, oh, look, it's a place with a back wall to it.
Yeah,
and hope there's no band playing in that little offside stage there.
Oh my God, yeah. Back when they used to do the Mardi Gras type thing with the boats flying from the ceiling, that was just people who were just there at the hotel would just stop and look up in the sky like it was Superman or something. You just stock still and you're trying to like get back and forth during those things.
I always wonder about the people that, you know, they're just there on vacation, nothing to do with Star Trek.
Yes.
Like, what do they think when they show up and see all of us there?
Now, you know, like last year, since the hotel sold out, that was a lot less of an issue than usual, right? I mean, there were still people who probably, you know, made reservations for the first weekend in August for whatever reason. But we'll see. I just really am curious to see how everything feels this year.
Yeah. Same here. We've been wondering about that on a lot of our prior episodes to this one, because obviously, you know, we're not even close to sold out yet, and there's still plenty of tickets left. And, you know, so that means we're not going to get nearly the crowd we had last year. So maybe back to, you know, pre-50th levels. Yeah. And maybe we'll be getting the stink eye from business people who are there for the weekend, too.
Oh, this feels more normal again. Yeah. Yay, stink eye. No, I was going to say, that's what you expect. I mean, it shouldn't be, you know, and maybe after Discovery and maybe there's new fandom pulled in, it'll take it to, you know, the 52nd, the post-Discovery fandom wave, hopefully. Yeah. We'll take it to a whole new level without it being a mega anniversary. You know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah. It's grown. It has grown since the first year. It's grown since the Grand Slam days in Pasadena. It's grown since, you know, the first New York convention in 72. But so the growth curve is going to be there. But it'll be interesting to see what how do you top the 50th? I don't think it should be a competition. Nobody should expect to top the 50th. I called it 50 fever last year, and you just don't. People were just crazy. So, you know, we had 20, we did the big Geek Nation tour last year, and we'll have that again next year for the multi-days. We had like 20 people. We'd never had that big, 25 people on the big tour. So it was just crazy. And everybody was that way. The sellouts and everything. Yeah. So anyway, I know, but people are excited, and there are still people coming new. So I don't know. Do you have any clue about your audience? If you have like a lot of newbies listening that they hear about it and are
listening? We do. Yes. We have a nice mix of people. And that's something that I've noticed on social media in our group. And mm-hmm. I keep an eye on the official creation group as well. And so we've got a lot of people, you know, returning as we normally do every year. There were a number of people that decided they're not going. They've been priced out or whatnot. Mm-hmm. But then you're still getting a very, I think, a large influx mm-hmm. of new people this year.
I agree with that, yeah.
And we're fortunate enough to put ourselves out there and to have our friends that share links to the podcast and tell people about the podcast. Our STLV 101 series, it's a three-part series that we just finished. That, I think, has like been mm-hmm, one of our mm-hmm. most popular downloads since we started. And we get comments frequently about, oh, this is so awesome, it's my first time. So I think it's pretty amazing that we're still getting a nice chunk of new people coming to the convention. It's good
and
stuff.
And they're engaging with the existing community and not just kind of showing up at the con. They're getting involved, you know, before they go there to get mm-hmm. the right people.
Well, see, that's
first.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you couldn't do 10 years ago. And that's, although I think it still happened, I think there's somebody, I forget who, they talk about this on the tours, but it happens with anything. You can't be at a Trek event for a day and not have picked up a half dozen friends.
Yeah.
Whether you're, you know, if you're in a line for 2 hours or you're sitting in your chair or you're at a party or whatever, you're going to meet, because you're all, it's all the same tribe. Now, maybe different clans in the tribe.
Yeah.
Because you can micro niche anything. I know that's a shock. Yeah. I know there's never any disagreements and different opinions in fandom. But overall, compared to what you go back to when you go back home, you know, and go to work or go to school or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, hang around the family farm. It's all specialized down, and everybody's in a good feeling. So yeah, all the newbies. So social media is just ramped that up. It's like taking a lot of the stuff you had to took you a day or two or a whole trip to learn, mm-hmm. you've got it out of the way, or you're at least aware to it. So things like you guys' series and just social media in general are awesome. I'm not even gonna like make some cram about when I was a kid fan, we you had to take 5 years to learn all this stuff. So you know,
you had to get addresses and have pen pals.
Yeah. Stacy.
Yeah. Hey, I wasn't part of the Facebook group the first time I went to the convention. I went in cold. I just went with my podcast partner Craig when we first started the show up. So we went in without even knowing anybody first. So it's kind of nice to see a lot of people engaging before they go, or finding out how to engage before they go and migrating into our unofficial group. And it's been really cool to see, you know, people asking questions and the community chiming in and helping answer them to help make their trips better and easier.
Well, there's there's different. You learn, as with any convention, especially with a big one, you have the first time people, and you always remember your first year, your first time, and it's always special. And you want it to be as special. You want it to be as special as you can make it. Everybody else wants your first time to be as special as you make it. And unless you're really devoted to a certain subject matter or a certain show or a certain actor group or whatever, and you've really focused on that, you're soaking up the whole thing, and you know, you're going gung-ho in for autographs, and everything is, it's like the Okie tourist in New York City the first time. I mean, yeah. you're just gawking at the skyscrapers, and when I've had the table, you can always tell when somebody comes by their first time. It's awesome. And you know, after the 2009 movie, as much guff as and wonderment as the JJ movies got the first time, there were so many new fans at Vegas, yeah, which is the other thing. The other thing that's interesting is, we're talking about newbies, is used to be, you know, like you'd be a fan, you'd be in the closet, you'd find your other friend at school or at work or something, and then you would stumble across some, maybe a local club, or if nothing else, a convention near you, and you would go to that because it made sense, and then you would kind of like climb the ladder, and you'd either get your nerve up, or you'd get your budget up, or your just awareness up. And there are so many people now, and it's the internet, it's social media, it's YouTube, and it's news. But there's so many people that I've talked to over the last, you know, since the 09 movies especially, and the 50th, where they just, you know, they're in Poughkeepsie, and Poughkeepsie's near New York. That's not a good example. They're in Fargo, and they just come to Vegas the first time.
Yeah.
You know?
That's me. That's exactly my story.
Yeah.
I mean, I had been a Trekkie. And I had been to smaller conventions, but that 2009 movie came out, and I was just so pumped. It's like, let's find another Star Trek convention. And lo and behold, there's Vegas. And I did exactly that. I went and I did like 9 photo ops and 5 photographs and waited 4 hours for Jonathan Frakes to sign. And
all in one day.
All in one day. Yeah. And, you know, now my experience has changed dramatically, but that's me. That's my story. So
that's the innocence of, well, and you, but you said you had gone to some conventions near you. There are people that I've talked to that they just go zoom. I mean, they just go plop and they come to Vegas. They haven't gone to any other Trek or not Trek or little neighborhood convention with the local author there. I mean, you know, they just go, and which is awesome. But so everybody comes from different, it's like you never, you know, the other thing I try to remember is with just fandom in general, is that you can't judge fandom in general even by who's at Vegas.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, Vegas are the people who are aware and had the money to have gotten there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's tons of, for every person at Vegas, there's tons of, you know, you heard me say armchair fans that are out around the country buying, watching the shows and then buying books or comics or action figures and then playing the games and enjoying it there and raising their kids that way. And, you know, maybe they eventually, you know, it's funny. They used to be, especially, I'm not up to the level of going to a club, or I'm not up to the level of going to a con. I don't have a uniform. And people, I don't know, maybe we talked about this last time, so I don't want to repeat, but the disservice, I was just talking about that. I was just at a medium-sized convention called ModestoCon, which was all things, but there are 2 Starfleet chapters there, and there are a lot of Trek fans. And we were just talking about how, over the years, local news, before the Big Bang Theory generation, and everybody was in the closet, and, you know, they would send their TV crew down. They would send their crew on Sunday for the light news load. So anything they did not help the convention. Mm-hmm. Hearing about it at 6 on Sunday evening does not help you get people in the door on Friday and Saturday, right?
Nope.
And then they always search out the googiest looking person with the worst makeup and the worst teeth or whatever, and talk to them.
Yeah.
So which is ridiculous and kind of, you know, condescending. And B, gave that feeling to people watching at home who were armchair fans that, I've talked to people who used to think you had to have a costume or a uniform to be able to go.
Actually, we had a question in the group about that recently.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, do I have to dress up? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And you go and just want to look. Yeah. So I mean, over the years, I've tried to take like line pictures. A couple of times I remember just walking down a hall and being struck by this really photogenic line. But all, you know, going, wow, look how long this thing is. But you could do it, and now you can pano and everything or do a video. But just go look. 1 out of every 5 people is in uniform or costume. You know, it's like it's grandmas and babies, guys. Come on. But that's old news now. Now we all know that. So thanks to the revolution in media and the geeks winning. And
yeah, well, you know, that's a great point. And this is just something that occurred to me off the top of my head. I don't want to go along a long tangent, but I distinctly remember talking about news programs and how, you know, the culture around convention attending and, you know, fandom in general has changed. I remember back when the Star Wars prequels were coming out, I remember seeing a thing that turned into like a comedy routine almost, where they were covering the premiere night for one of the Star Wars films, the new ones. And they were pretty much making fun of all the people in the crowd who were dressed up, or they had lightsabers, and, you know, then they had been waiting outside the theater for, I mean, an ungodly amount of time because they really wanted to see this movie. And, you know, the reporters were just goofing on them. And that was, you know, back in the late 90s.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's so different now. You know, the attitude towards it has changed. I mean, there's still some, you know, people out there who you know, make fun of it. But I think it's come a long way. And the geeks have, like you said, the geeks have started to really win.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the geeks are running. I mean, it's like when Leonard died. And I remember seeing somebody online say, oh, I wonder if the mainstream media will cover this. And I came back and I go, I think we are the mainstream media. And then you saw it, right? You saw every late night talk show, every news, everything, you know, honor him.
Yep.
And then you saw the you know, when the NASA asked, when all the orbiting astronauts were sending it down, it was kind of like slapping people in the face if they needed to be slapped. But yeah, it is a diff. And some of the older veteran fans, you know, they remember that. It's, if there's any generational divide in fandom, it's the people, and a lot of people have gotten over it because they've slid into it, or their kids have pushed them there or something, or they're keeping up very well. Thank you. And I'm trying not to stereotype anybody. But there's just that that's in general, the whole thing of keeping stuff to yourself versus here's my whole life on Facebook, blah, vomit it all out there. You know, maybe you don't want a potential boss to see this. Oh, I didn't think of that, you know, but just that whole division about being open with yourself as a generational marker, you know, but it comes across to fandom, and in the big picture, it's so much better and freer now. I mean, it's even not so much about being in the closet, being secretive, as having to fight as the next era, which I feel like I was a part of in the way, was like fighting the battle. And, you know, now the battle is getting Janeway respect next to Picard and Kirk. But in the old days, the battle was, you know, there's no difference between sports fandom and sci-fi fandom. We're all people with a passion, and we all dress up goofy, and what's the difference between the fat-bellied guy with a painted belly in the end zone at 20 below? Mm. Why is he so much crazier, better than, you know, the Trek person with the painted face and the outfit on at the convention? Why, you know, on Sunday afternoon feature show? Why are they different? They're all the same, and power to them, you know. Yeah,
fandom is fandom.
And that is the attitude that's finally taken hold. But yeah, it's not like you can stop fighting that fight. You can stop fighting that fight.
Start enjoying.
And just enjoy it, yeah. And just watch all the newer fans, younger fans come along who had no idea, you know.
Yeah.
Had no idea we grew up in a wood house with no floor. Oh, wait. had no idea that, you know, that all that even happened. But at the same time, my documentary, Con of Wrath, and a lot of things, one of my little soapboxes is reminding people that both ends of that. Here's where we came from. Here's what's the same. Here's what's different. And, you know, like we've always, you know, women built Star Trek fandom. They weren't the odd thing, the odd one out. And here's where we were originally, even though we've always felt the same way about the shows. Thank goodness that nothing changed. I mean, it's always, if it hadn't been a consistent entertainment property, we wouldn't be here 50 years later. So it's kind of a given.
Yeah.
So that's what's the same. And it's always affected people the same, but on the external things have changed a lot. And there we go. We grew into power. So, okay. Off my soapbox. That was a long.
Well, we're wrapping back around because we're getting back to the conventions in modern day and what's going on. So what else do you have going on at the con this year? We talked about landing parties. Is there anything else you have lined up?
Yeah, I think, and this is kind of crazy, I think I'm going to have a lower public profile this year. I'll be there. doing a lot. Hopefully I won't be so tied down. I am doing a Dr. Trek show. This will be the last time in its current form to support the Connor Rath. Saturday night, I'll post the time, but it'll probably be 9 to 11, something like that. I don't know what I'm up against otherwise going on. Creation has great. Yeah, 5-6 years ago, you know, there wasn't that much going on at night unless you had a ticket for one of their party parties, and there may be some late night things going on. But I'll definitely have the Dr. Trek show where we do prize trivia and sneak peeks of the documentary. You know, Walter, George, Nichelle, late great Harb Bennett, Wendy Doohan, and some really rare Trek video you won't see anywhere else. But it's a 2-hour thing. You can sit at home and give $20 to the Con of Wrath through PayPal on my page. But when I'm live at a con, you can come do that, get your screen credit, and do all this other live stuff too, and meet other people and have a fun time. And this will be the last year in the current form, because we are wrapping up the Connor Rath this summer and this fall, right, taking longer than I thought. So not quite as commiserable as like with Ira and Adam, more like with Rod getting Trek Nation together. But yeah. We're wrapping up here the second half of the year, and may have some big things to announce with that too, but that's what's at the same time slowing it down, but may make it a bigger deal. So that's Saturday night for sure. Be looking for the announcements, you know, at LarryNemechek.com and Larry Nemechek on Facebook and all that, and the landing party. And then at the moment, we're waiting to see. They do things last minute anyway for a lot of the schedule, so waiting to see that. But I look forward to seeing everybody. And I was talking about them earlier, but I really try to guard against getting stuck in ruts. So one of the things I really have tried to do is really meet and talk with the JJ era fans that have just that came in with the movies, and just younger fans in general, and people who are at their. I love talking to them. So I'm not sure exactly what setup. I may have a Rovi camera. I may be doing more awesome. Facebook Live this year. So we'll see. We'll see. And I do have some news that we're announcing at Comic-Con here in a couple weeks, and I may have some more to announce, and not just by my lonesome. So we'll see how that goes. A name you would know.
Oh.
And whether how we phase out the announcements, again, this is up in the air, but some fun stuff to go. So I may not be so tethered this year. I may be more fleet of foot, which may be a good thing. So
yeah.
Yeah, we don't really get to see you around a lot because you seem to be so busy in the past few years. Maybe we'll get to see you a little bit more.
Well, that's what I'm looking at. Maybe that's my reaction to the post 50th hangover.
That's the cure.
Is the cure? Yeah. Although the cure is a very specific thing that saved my voice once. If you are on YouTube and look up the cure, Larry Nemechek, you'll see when we were shooting Continues. But anyway, interesting times. And the other interesting thing is I people were wondering about this. It kind of puzzled people last year. But if you look at it from the standpoint of numbers, how all the big Discovery events and brouhaha has been San Diego Comic-Con centric rather than Vegas. But that's where not only the numbers are, but that's where all the other franchises are. And CBS/Paramount, like when they premiered Beyond there last year.
Yeah.
They're very cognizant of showing up and representing among all the other, you know, the family of franchises and not letting the other, you know, Marvel and DC and
it hurts,
Harry
but
Potter.
We understand.
Yeah.
Right. They want to show up well with them. And hopefully we'll have some Discovery bits at Vegas. But that's preaching to the choir. I think maybe at times it's at least in these early days. Now, like I said, once we get through the just get the thing launched so everybody can unclench about it.
Yeah.
and get normal with it, get typical with it. Then I'm sure, you know, that'll all loosen up because I know it's not for Gary and Adam not wanting more Discovery this year. So,
yeah, I know that they've got kind of a basic panel up on the page. It doesn't really say a whole lot of what they're going to do. And I imagine that at some point, since we now have the CBS All Access stage, they will be showing hopefully in the main theater, but maybe just there. Certainly the first trailer. And then I assume we're getting a second trailer at San Diego Comic-Con. So I imagine they'll show those trailers at STLV and then have whatever this panel's going to be. So, I mean, that's, I look forward to next year when
they're. Hello and welcome to the fifth frame by frame panel breakdown of the 47th trailer of.
Yeah. I'd just be happy if Adam Drosen got his wish and had some actual Trek playing in Quark's, you know. So you can go in and actually sit down and watch some, you know, CBS All Access and have some Trek marathons going on in there. We don't know why they don't do that.
That would, well, you would think that would would satisfy everyone. There, if what's funny, you talk about the old years, the old fandom versus now. This came up again today. I did another Trekland. Oh, I hope everybody is going by and watching Trekland live or watching it later. I do a Trekland Tuesdays live now at 1 o'clock Pacific at 4 p.m. Eastern. I started about 8 weeks ago just because I realized that I have my nice videos where I'm off camera interviewing people and I have Portal 47 where the members hear me, but it's, you know, behind a, it's a paywall. It's a subscription thing. And blogs are writing, but I thought, well, we can do little bits and pieces. So Trekland Tuesdays live every week is it's just on my Facebook, on Larry Nemechek's Trekland, and then they're all there. You can watch them after that. This is just like 5 to 10 minute little topics, and you know me, I have this thing about everybody. There's 4,000 good and not so good podcasts and videos out there covering everything. Mm-hmm. And maybe overlapping a lot. And I usually have a little bit different angle or maybe a couple of dots nobody's connecting yet. And that's what I like to think everything in Trekland is, aside from, of course, weighing in. So that's kind of what I do while we're here in this time of when there's big news, I'll talk about it like I've done with like Chris on Ready Room on Trek FM. But this is kind of my baby and my total little control. And I can do it fairly quickly and everybody can listen or listen later. So I just wanted to throw that out there. I haven't told you guys about that.
Yeah.
Well, I hope we're not one of those not so good podcasts.
Well, it's like, you know, it's the new technology wave. It's like everybody and their dog having a website, even when they didn't need to have one in the 90s and all that. But no, the one I did today, I was talking about clickbait and when is clickbait not really clickbait. My point here was, there have been times all through the fallow years and the coming of JJ and Bad Robot in the movies and maybe the going away of JJ and the Kelvin movies. But it's been an odd bird for all the years that fans grew up, you know, Paramount this and Paramount that and the ugly monolithic Paramount when there's always five or six different arms that have competing interests. And now that we're in the, you know, the post Viacom divorce and it's CBS and people want to ascribe these monolithic motives to everything.
Yeah.
But still, like with really the last 10 years, I can't remember when the fan motivation or the fan goal and the corporate goal have been so aligned. I guess it's because maybe we're in survival and revival mode, maybe. But even then, so I was talking today about how not all clickbait is clickbait. There are good. But how I try to go back, if I see a million stories about the same thing, I go by finding the origin story and then everybody else who's just picking off of it for clicks. Mm-hmm. And then unless they're bringing something new, some fresh insight, which is what we used to do in news. And that's good, too. And I know a lot of people that add on to the basic story. But even given all that, we live in a world where, you know, Discovery is not just about us. It's about CBS All Access and it's a business mm-hmm. thing. And we have a great unwashed mob out there, the mundanes, and we're trying to get their eyeballs on Discovery too,
yep.
and sucked in. And so all of that, unless it's some horrible, horrible, cheap or sleazy or stupid, harmful, you know, really bad clickbait, the more that's out there passing the general public, the better. Mm-hmm. So. In a way, there's a lot of good, quote unquote, clickbait, although I'm using the term loosely. So anyway, even though I still curse the ones that are just piling on, I know in my heart that that's actually doing a greater good. And
spreading the word is a good thing.
Spreading the word is a good thing. Right. So anyway, I wanted to throw that out there. I invite everybody to jump in and watch me. And it's not really, I really try to keep it to a short topic and then go find me here and then get out. Mm-hmm. Which is a shock, I know. When I'll obviously be, things settle down about Vegas and some of these details get finalized, I'll for sure have a blog post up and I'll probably mention it briefly at the end of Tuesday's live. So no, I'm really looking forward to Vegas. Like I said, it may be a slightly different vibe this year, and that may I may be doing more network and out seeing people and being fast on my feet this year. But we'll see. They always nail down a lot of details late, so we'll see how it goes.
Yep. Yeah. Well, either way, we're excited to see you.
Good. Good, good, good. And you too.
Yeah, we're going to be doing some on-the-spot interviews this year. We have some equipment we're going to be bringing with us, so maybe we'll be able to catch up with you and do some live on-the-spot conversations.
Oh, put me on the spot. Put everybody on the spot. I was going to say, equipment is good, though. I would bring equipment. Equipment is a good thing.
Yeah. All right. So where can people find you? I mean, well, we've talked about the URLs and stuff, but, you know, let's give another quick rundown. Everything in one place, social media, Twitter, whatnot. Where can people find Larry Nemechek and all of the things that you do online? Yeah,
well, LarryNemechek.com is a good hub. That's pretty central. But yeah, ConOfWrath.com for the documentary and Portal47.net for Portal 47, our insiders deep dive every month. In a whole new way, again, something I'm trying to do that no one else is doing, to where no savvy fan has gone before, like a mini con all year long, several ways every month. But yeah, at Larry Nemechek on Twitter and YouTube, and Larry Nemechek's Trekland on Facebook and Instagram. So,
well, thank you as always for coming back on Shore Leave. It's always a pleasure to have you here with us on the show, as it is your fourth visit to us. I'm sure you'll be back for a fifth after the convention to talk about everything that happened in Vegas.
I'm always good for a fifth, but that's usually a lot later tonight. So,
well, we'll find out at the landing party.
Yeah, yeah, and later. But no, thanks a lot for having me back on. I was going through old pictures, and that Star Trek dress you made, that one of those first years you came, Heather, I saw that the other day. I just thought it was really cool. And you seemed like kind of shocked that somebody would want a picture of you in the dress, but you were tickled. So anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember, I think that's when we like first met.
Yeah, I think so. I do. Yeah.
Anyway, thanks again, guys. And good luck and congratulations on the podcast being so, so growing so well and being such a public service.
You will have to, I'll keep an eye on Trekland and stuff, but, any news that pops out, we're happy to share that or for you to share that in the unofficial group. So feel free to post a link there so that we can let people know.
I will. I'll share something over about Trekland Tuesdays.
Perfect.
Oh, excellent. Well,
thinking too. Good deal.
Okay. So thank you once again. And if you guys out there are looking for us, you can find us online at shoreleavepodcast.com. Yes, that's the first time we're actually using the new URL in the show here, so it's brand new. You can also find us at tricordertransmissions.com. We are on social media on Facebook at Shore Leave Podcast and Twitter at Shore Leave. And Heather, where can people find you?
I am LLA Posper on Twitter and one of the admins of the unofficial Star Trek Las Vegas group on Facebook.
Ah, as am I. And you can also find me at Warp Factor Jeff on Twitter. And we'll see you again next week for another episode of Shore Leave as we're continuing our marathon leading up to the Las Vegas convention. And we'll hope to see a lot of you there. Hi there. Thanks again for listening. If you're cruising the galaxy looking for even more Trek talk, why not visit our good friends Bill and Dan over at TrekGeeks.com? They've got a great podcast that covers a wide range of Star Trek topics, so you're sure to find something you'll love. And if you're in the mood for some awesome tunes, then you really need to head over to 5YearMission.net. The guys are writing a song for every episode of the original series, and each one is absolutely brilliant. So that's TrekGeeks.com and 5YearMission.net. Check them out today.